We're going to move to Senate Bill 121. I think we'll have a lot of the same people testifying. I'm actually going to ask that the testimony be very restricted.
Short, yes.
Thank you.
Yes, Madam Chair, and I respect that very much. We got the hard one out of the way, now we got the easy one. That's the beauty of bringing two bills in back to back. Senate Bill 121 also deals with the Ready Fund, believe it or not. It does. Now, what this says in a nutshell, very simple, very straightforward. It says that if you get a Ready Fund loan, you have to offer your employees a basic health care benefit package. Nowhere does it say you have to pay a penny for the premium. It says you have to offer the package. Now, what could that be? Let's look at the simple scenario of it. That could be a deal if I move, again, we'll use Highmore. If I move into Highmore, South Dakota, and I'm going to open a business, and I get a Ready Fund loan, it could be a simple process as calling the local insurance agent and saying, Joe, here's the deal. I'm going to open this business. I'm going to hire 10 people. What would it cost to have a basic health care program for these people? You know what? Now I'm taken care of. I've addressed the concern and the issue of you have to offer the program. I don't have to pay a penny. Now, being a good employer, which most of the employers in South Dakota are, you may want to pay part of that premium, but you don't have to. But what you have to do is you have to allow your employees the opportunity to have a health care program. That's it. Plain, simple, doesn't cost you a penny. But we all are concerned about health care in this state, and we want to make sure that everybody is covered. Here's an opportunity, no pressure, just show them what it's going to cost, if you will, to do this. That's it.
Thank you for your brevity. Are there questions from the committee? Senator Whiting.
Well, I just question, particularly in today's labor environment where labor is in short supply, if this kind of thing isn't really best left up to the law of supply and demand. I mean, if employees to work for a company like this demand that, it's going to have to be provided. If they don't, it might not be. But I don't know that we deal with this kind of thing by creating a statute or a law that requires it. Again, it's a matter of bargaining between the employer and his employees.
Madam Chair, just really, I'm quick today. You notice that, but
you are quick.
My answer to that would be this, Senator Whiting, and that is the law of supply and demand, as you just stated. If that were the case, and it was such a wonderful thing, and it worked so well, explain to me, if you would, why we are 50th in wages. It doesn't work in our state, and we as government have an opportunity to make some changes. That's why I bring the kind of bills that I bring to help the people of the state of South Dakota, agree with me or disagree with me. In my heart, I believe that what I'm doing is the right thing for the citizens. Now, supply and demand doesn't work.
It always works.
Thank you, Representative Ketzel. Are there
Senator,
other...
Senator, come on now.
Senator, I am so sorry. I know when you move up to that title, it is so discouraging to be called a representative. So I truly apologize.
Madam Chair, I do want to thank you for not calling me.
I've never done that. Okay. Are there other proponents to Senate Bill 121?
Members of the committee, my name is Joe Kralchik. I'm a registered lobbyist for the Brotherhood of Maintenance of Way Employees, so I'm another union guy. I would have preferred that you would have passed the previous bill, but I think that this is certainly an extremely modest step, as long as we are giving an individual or a corporation money that either they could not get at the regular cost of capital in the private market or perhaps could not obtain at all. I think it's only right that we should put a couple of strings on it. I don't think that we're micromanaging the Ready Fund board. You know that everything that I've seen, these surveys of top corporate officers, they do not look only at wages and workers' comp and things like that. They look at the entire package, and as a matter of fact, Mr. Wheeler mentioned this. I believe that generally the two top concerns are proximity to market and either an educated or educable workforce. We're balancing a few things off here. You know, I find it interesting that even the IMF and the World Bank now are, rather than just demanding that countries devaluate their currency or do whatever, they've realized that you cannot develop a place economically just by putting up a hydraulic plant and building a fine railroad, that there's the labor side of the equation that ultimately will not attract private capital if you have hungry or desperate people. And I'm not saying obviously that South Dakota is a third world country, but you know, it seems that we should be able to do for our citizens what the IMF does for the Uzbeks or whomever. One last quick point. If people are not paid well, if people do not have access to health care through insurance, the medical provider of last resort invariably becomes the emergency room of the local hospital. And I think that if you are giving public money to someone, you should not expect the community to take care of the health of the workforce. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? Thank you very much for testifying. Are there other proponents to Senate Bill 121? Other proponents? Are there any opponents to Senate Bill 121?
Madam Chair, Ron Wheeler again. I'll be very brief. Excuse me. For many of the same arguments that we dealt with in Senate Bill 120, I don't think there's a problem to fix here, and I guess I'm always surprised when the implication is that we've got people coming in without benefits, without packages. 98% of the loans, 98% of the companies who've gotten loans offer full benefit packages, not just basic health. So I'm not sure what the implication is. It almost implies, you know, we've got a big problem out there. If I took out Dakota Ventures, which is a venture capital firm which was given a ready loan, it gets higher. There are other examples. Frankly, every company that we give a ready loan to that's been coming in has been offering benefit packages because of the market that they're in and the supply and demand issues that were mentioned by Senator Whiting. So I guess what I'd say is I don't think this bill accomplishes anything. I think if it did, if there was a case where it could hurt, again, it would be our small communities. You don't hear small communities up here asking for this type of legislation. It's always coming out of either the big cities or labor. So with that, I guess I would urge you to defeat this.
Thank you. I have one quick question. Do you deal with, you know, we tend to give about $1 million out for ethanol plants. These are large projects that we've heard about in recent weeks, maybe as much as $40 million. Do ready funds go to those plants at all?
We have participated in some of the ethanol projects, not to a large degree. I think we've got 400,000 in one, and I think the ready board has been receptive to trying to help work and close the finance, you know, the equity side of the gap where they need a little bridge to give comfort to some of the other financing. But we play a small part in ethanol. Okay. We play a much larger part from the transportation department in terms of subsidy.
Right. I was just, which is also taxpayers' dollars. I was just wondering if we ever did a pilot program. Thank you. Are there any other opponents to Senate Bill 121? Other opponents? We're going to close for committee discussion and action. I'm sorry. Welcome, Mr. Brown.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is John Brown. I represent the National Federation of Independent Business. We come before you in opposition to this bill, not so much from the limited standpoint of what the bill addresses, but the larger message that it conveys out there to the small employer community. We've long had a position against mandated benefits. It drives costs for our small employers. makes it very difficult for our employer community to offer meaningful benefits to our employees if we continue to pass mandates on top of them. I understand that this doesn't necessarily affect that entire community, but it does tend to build on that level, and I just want to remind the committee that we are concerned about those types of mandates and would ask that you look carefully at this issue.
Thank you, Senator Bros.
One question. When Mr. Wheeler testified, 98% of the loan recipients offer entire benefit packages. From your testimony, am I led to believe that there is a problem out there with the small businesses not offering this? Is that percentage? What would be your guess as to the percentage?
As you may know, the NFIB does a survey of its membership as to their position on various issues. We did survey on the issue of health care benefits this past year, and although I should try and get the numbers so I don't misstate the position, but this past year we asked our membership if they provided health insurance benefits for full-time employees. Something over half do, about 56%. Just looking quickly for some figures. Those that do offer offer that type of benefit, a little over half is paid by the employer. In some of the cases, the employer makes the insurance available, but it's paid by the employee. Continually imposing additional mandates on that benefit makes the cost go up and reduces the opportunity for the employers to offer that and remain competitive.
Senator Simmons.
John, are those numbers South Dakota numbers or are they nationwide?
No, those are South Dakota numbers.
They're South Dakota. Thank you.
And I would have to caveat that, too. The survey sample is relatively small, so I mean, I don't know that I could transpose that across the entire employer community in South Dakota, but that is the results we obtained.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Brown. Are there other opponents to Senate Bill 121? Other opponents? All right. We're going to close for committee discussion and action then. Senator Sutton.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, if I just indulge me just for a minute here. I like the concept, but it would probably read much better if we on line 7 would amend it to at least basic benefit package, because in small communities, when I'm operating with my business people and they're offering health insurance, there's certain requirements that the health providers make them, and for your participation limits and things like that, sometimes small employers can't offer health insurance because they don't meet the minimum participation limits. So they're forced to go on individual plans. But if you can offer a benefit package, it could read a retirement package, a simple a 401k, a simple IRA. I mean, it would open the door to allow them to offer a minimum package, because I don't know if everybody can offer a basic health insurance package. But a minimum benefit package could leave them more room for flexibility. So I would move that we strike on line 7 the S after benefits and health and just let it read basic benefit package.
Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Any committee discussion?
If I may, Madam Chair.
Yes.
Just briefly, if we're going to do something like this, it's my goal to try to offer as much flexibility as we can to the employers, because there's certain employers that would not be able to meet this basic health insurance, just because of my own experience in working with them. Some of them can't offer that, and if they're receiving a loan, it might be difficult for them to offer that health insurance program. If they have 3 employees and 2 of them have previous coverage somewhere else and they're staying on their wife's plan, you know, or they just refuse it, would hurt their participation limit. So with that, I think would make it a much better bill.
Any committee discussion? All those in favor of the amendment say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The actually the amendment passes. Okay, we're going to talk about the bill as amended.
Madam Chair.
Senator Utmacher.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I think based on Secretary Wheeler's testimony that it wouldn't affect anyone currently that they've had in the READY program, you never know when that opportunity is going to present itself that we would need that benefit, but I would move do pass.
Is there a second?
Seconded
by Senator Sutton. Any committee discussion?
Madam Chair.
Yes. Senator Whiting.
Well, I just wonder if a basic benefit package is a defined term. What is a basic benefit package? I think you put 10 people together, you might come up with 8 or 10 different ideas of what it constitutes. If I was an employee, I might have one definition, my neighbor might have another. I don't think this is a defined term. I don't think it's a term we can work with.
Which I think goes to show that this needs to be done on an individual basis. I think we're going to have small communities and very small businesses, and we're going to see growth in those businesses, and we're going to see all sorts of benefit packages evolve. I think what we're doing is mandating something here that may not be appropriate and actually hurt the communities that we're trying to help. Are there other comments?
I think if this were to go to court, I think it'd be void for vagueness. I don't think it's too vague a term.
Senator Dugard?
Yeah, I agree with Senator Whiting. I think it is too vague. But overarching, I think, is his earlier comment that competition is what really should drive these things. And the chief thrust of the Ready Fund is to create jobs. And the more job competition there is in the marketplace, the more the marketplace will produce these kinds of benefits for employees. And they will produce them in the proportion needed in that particular community. So if this particular community needs higher wages to attract workers, then that's where it will produce it. If this particular community has higher wages but doesn't have health benefits, it'll produce health benefits. And I think it's really the function of the marketplace to drive these kinds of things, and we should let the Ready Fund do what it was originally intended to do, and that is create jobs and place no more restriction on it than it are already present.
Okay, we have do we have any motion before us? Do pass? Okay, we have a do pass motion before the committee.
Chair. Thank you, Madam Chair. Based on Senator Dugard and Senator Whiting's comments, and I guess I have the same concern with the basic benefits because it is difficult. When you're in business, you say you have these basic benefit packages to the employee, but they're listed. You know, it's A, B, C, D, and that's it. We don't give retirement, or we do this and this. And so I would offer a substitute motion for the 41st day.
Is there a second? Seconded by Senator Mutson. Any further committee discussion?
Madam Chair.
Senator Utmacher.
Thank you. If that would make the committee happy, you know, we could list a litany of, you know, health insurance and retirement, and, you know, if that would meet the committee's agreement, you know, to pass the bill, I don't think we have a problem with doing that, and I'm sure Senator Kitzel would probably accept that as a friendly amendment if that would be agreeable to the rest of the committee.
I don't see people jumping up and down. Any further committee discussion? If not, the secretary will call the roll. The question before the committee is to defer Senate Bill 121 to the 41st legislative day. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay. Deferred to the 41st legislative day, Senate Bill 121. Thank you. Senate Bill 206 is next on the agenda. wherever you're most comfortable.